When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Voices of a Vic podcast with me, Ben Ayton, Mike Duffy and Joe Thomas. And we are here to talk about Watford's first win in the FA Cup since that time in the FA Cup semi-final at Wembley to Wolverhampton Wanderers 5 years ago, that was. And it's our first victory since, which is it's terrible, really. So thankfully, Watford got the job done yesterday, made hard work of it. But we're here to dissect that performance now for you all. But firstly, Mike, come to you first. How are you doing, mate? Good to see you yesterday.
Yeah, it was good to see all of us. All of us were there yesterday. And thoroughly enjoyed it. Enjoyed the win. And that was my seventh game this season that I've been to. We've won six, drawn one and lost none. So I must be a good luck charm, but I'm sure we'll talk about the game and everything, but I'm all good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, all good. Thank you, mate. Yeah, all good. Just had a family day today. But yeah, like you enjoyed yesterday, it was hard work. But if there's nothing like the FA Cup, is there? Like it's magical. And I'm sure we're going to get into it in a bit because Chesterfield coming down, 4,500 fans were absolutely unbelievable. And that's what the FA Cup's all about, isn't it? But Joe, how are you doing, mate? Good to see you yesterday as well.
Yeah, it was cracking, yeah, wasn't it, to get all of us together? Like Mike said, the game wasn't particularly amazing, but I guess the feeling always doesn't matter who the opponent is, a last-minute win is always nice, isn't it? So
100%. And Watford have done that so many times this season. But yeah, as we've all mentioned as well, it was actually the first time that all five members of the Voices of Vic actually met in person yesterday. So me, Mike, originally started off the podcast, wanted to add a few more members into it. And we've all met each other on random occasions and that, but we were never all five in one place. So it was really nice to all get together yesterday. And it was in the bunker as well. And if you've not checked out the bunker, make sure you do. It's just around the back of the rookery. If you walk behind the rookery and then turn left down some steps and then just turn right, it's just there. And it's a really good setup that Roy Moore's got there, Mike, isn't it? Your first time in there, would you fully recommend going in there again?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd heard of it before, and hence why I suggested it. And I went in there, and Roy's done magnificently with the place. You know, all the shirts on the wall, signed stuff, memorabilia, big screens. I think he's even got a fruit machine in there. And, you know, it's really good. And I like the fact, Ben, and I didn't know this till you told me, that the money actually that they get from the barkeep and everything goes back into the 1881 supporters club. So that's really good as well. And we saw Pete from Do Not Scratch Your Eyes, Carl as well. I think Wendover Orm was there. We met Jason. I'm not sure of his surname, but he said he listens. It was good to see the others in person. I mean, obviously, Ben, me and you have met many, many times. First time I've met Joe and Katie. Met that Cam, bit of a knobhead, but he's all right. So it was all good. It was good, and I'm glad it was sort of marked with getting a win as well, because yeah, hopefully we can do more games where the five of us are there and we could be a good luck charm.
Yeah, well, we all enjoyed it yesterday, and we're going to try and make that more of a regular thing by going into a bunker, because like Mike said, it's a really good setup down there, and if we can help out for 1881 by contributing, by buying bits and pieces behind the bar, then we will do that. Joe, we was in the 1881, and the team news was actually announced in there, wasn't it? It was Watford actually made five changes to the side that drew 3-3 on New Year's Day with Plymouth Argyle. In came Daniel Batman, Siri Elta, Rhys Healy, Yasser Espria, and Tom Deli Basharu. And out went Hamer, Porteous, Rajovic, Andrews, and Kiembe. What was your initial thoughts when you saw that team news?
I'll be honest. I mean, we thought Batman would come in anyway, didn't we? We thought Hamer would get a rest and Batman would start, so that wasn't too much of a surprise. Obviously, I thought the strangest thing was how strong he went, to be honest. I didn't think he would go as strong as he did. I was expecting there to be other changes, maybe Ince getting a start, Pollock getting a start. I know there was a few comments made about maybe Greaves getting a start as well. Just to give people a run out, obviously being Chesterfield, but he took it seriously. He played a strong team. I mean, like I say, I'm surprised he did go so strong. I mean, Martins, Healy and Espria, you know, obviously I know Healy's not started in the Championship, but, you know, we start with those in the Championship most weeks. So, yeah, very, very surprising that those two got a game yesterday together.
Yeah, I was talking to Cam just before the team news came out, and I said, no matter how many changes Watford actually made to the starting lineup, it's still a strong team, isn't it? Because Val's got such a small squad this season, and they've all played their part this season. And you know the players coming off the bench have got really good quality as well. So I just thought whatever kind of team was going to put out was going to be strong, but I wasn't expecting it to be as strong as that. Mike, what was your thoughts on the starting lineup?
Pretty much what Joe said, wasn't expecting it to be that strong. I know Andrew French had put out a couple of sort of snippets from the pre-match press conference with Val, and he said that he was going strong, and I just didn't expect it to be like that. I thought we might see a few first-teamers with maybe a mix of academy, but I was thoroughly impressed. I mean, you know, having spoken to Tom, was it? My memory's terrible. Tom from the Spyrox Right podcast, and he sort of said, you know, he struck a bit of fear into me, to be honest, because I didn't know what type of Watford side would be seeing. And as Watford do, I see the team news and this sudden surge of confidence comes out of nowhere. And I'm thinking straight away, I'm thinking, yeah, you know, this is strong. We could do some damage. And I put a bit of money on a particular scoreline. It didn't come in. That's all we need to say on that. And I was very happy with the starting 11, but we certainly didn't play like a team that had put a strong team out to start. Well, not to start with. The first half was very poor, I thought.
Yeah, we won't mention the scoreline that you actually predicted, but it wasn't 3, it wasn't 5, it was the number in between 0, wasn't it, Mike? You felt that confident with the scoreline. But thank you, everyone, for watching tonight. There's lots of numbers in already. We've got lots of comments in as well, so we'll try and read them all out whilst we're going on. Jess is saying, hi, all. Pidge as well, hope you're well, mate. Love it, lads. Nice that you've all got all members together for when we met in the bunker. Lee said, hi, Marshy. We've also got Mark Schofield's popped up again. Hi, Mark. Hope you well. Evening. Yesterday, we witnessed why Batman is currently reserve keeper. His distribution in the first half in particular was terrible, and his positioning for the goal was dreadful. We're going to get onto Batman just in a second. We've got Philip Crouch as well saying, must come and see you next time in the bunker. Make sure you do, Philip. It'd be really nice to put a name to a face. And then Warwick Bird says the official away numbers was 3,984 for Chesterfield. Schofield's also said, thank God we put out a strong team, otherwise they would have won. And they were so close to it, weren't they, yesterday, Mark? But we'll move straight on to it. We'll talk about it now a little bit. But the team news, Joe, one thing we've not mentioned yet is who had the captain's armband. The captain armband didn't go straight back to club captain Daniel Batman, did it? It stayed with Wesley Hoot. Obviously, we all believe it's probably the right decision because of Batman's performances this season, but it was a bold move from Vel.
Yes and no. I think probably behind the scenes, Val's probably taken it off him, but they probably just not announced it. I would imagine that Wesley Hoot's going to be captain for the remainder of the season now. While it was a surprise, obviously we said when we were in the bunker, we noticed that straight away that he wasn't captain. I'm not surprised at all. And I mean, it's the right thing to do. I mean, just because he's back in the starting lineup, even if he is still captain, I mean, he shouldn't come back and just get it straight away because he's not been in the mix lately, is he? And in all fairness, even if he was to stay within the team, which I really don't think he is based on yesterday, he's not deserving of it. So, yeah, just my opinion. Now, what do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, it took me a while to realise and clock that Batman wasn't named as captain, but I think Val's made it clear, you know, perhaps the wrong decision was made in Batman being captain. I think he had a lot pushed on him, didn't he? Batman was asked to play out from the back and asked to play a way that he's never played before, and the spotlight was on him very much so in the way that we play now, and it was quite evident and clear that he's perhaps not taken to that as well as we would have liked. And then add on top of that the fact we've given him a 5-year contract, then add on top of that he's already in the spotlight for all the wrong reasons. He's captain, and we all know what he's like. You know, I can't say he's not passionate, because he is, but I think he portrays his passion in a way that is perhaps wrong. I think he gets a bit too over the top sometimes, and we see a side of him where he's very erratic with his decision making. And I don't think the first, well, yeah, I think this is fair. I don't think the first half was very good to him. I think Val brought him in. Hopefully, you know, he said, I've not given him captaincy today because he needs to focus on his game itself. Didn't want to add any pressure. I don't think the first half was very kind to him. I think, can't remember who it was, pointed out in the comments a minute ago, his distribution too many times was awful. And I don't think he covered himself in glory. That was it, Mark, yeah. I don't think he covered himself in glory. So I'll be honest, I feel sorry for Batman because, you know, we've seen the good side of Batman in the Championship in that lockdown season. But are we now perhaps seeing why he was so good in lockdown? Because there were no fans and he can't, you know, he can't deal with the pressure from the fans in person. But I do feel sorry for him. But let's put it this way. I don't think we'll be seeing him again this season in the league.
That was going to be my next question now. Joe, what do we do with Daniel Batman? Because obviously his confidence is rock bottom. And I felt like his distribution in that first 10, 15 minutes, it rubbed off on the back four. Like Hamer, we know what he brings. He brings that bit of calmness and everyone follows suit on that back line. With Daniel Batman comes in and he's spraying balls out the pitch, overhitting them into the crowd. Frustration from the crowd sets in, and then Chesterfield can probably smell blood after that point. What do we do with Daniel Batman for the rest of this season? Because obviously he's got the Euros coming up in the season, in the summer. He was Austria's number one. He's lost his spot now. He wants to play week in, week out to try and get his position back in Austria's squad now. Is it time to move Daniel Batman on? Like, maybe do we send him out on loan for the rest of the season where he can play week in, week out, maybe regain his confidence and then reassess it again in the summer?
Yeah, I think that would probably be wise. Like you say, he wants to go to the Euros, doesn't he? So he probably will get selected, but he's going to need game time before going. So yeah, I definitely think he would benefit from a loan move, whether that will materialise, because obviously in the stuff that we've been reading, the goalkeeping position is not something that the club said they wanted to look at in January. So I guess it would depend on whether something comes in and whether the club feel it's right and whether the club feel that they can get a replacement. Obviously, if they don't feel that they can get a replacement, then potentially it won't happen and he'll just spend the rest of the season on the bench. But then what's to say that Hamer's not going to get injured? You know, it's one of those kind of things. If, you know, if Hamer towards the end of the January window gets injured, then Batman obviously comes back in, or do the club really not show any faith in him and sign a keeper and he just stays as a backup again? It's, you don't really kind of know what's going to happen. But I'll tell you one thing I have seen is, I don't know, I can't remember his first name, but there's a goalkeeper that's currently on loan at Oxford that's been highly rated, that's been recalled from Brighton. I know his surname is Beadle. I can't remember what his first name is.
It's not Jeremy.
But he's been recalled because they want to send him to a Championship club. So potentially, for experience, maybe we could get rid of Batman and he could come in potentially on loan for the rest of the season and they reassess it. However, that's just me making something up on the spot there. So that isn't going to happen, guys. I'm just pointing something out just in case maybe it does. One thing I do just want to say, though, and it hasn't been really pointed out, is Batman did make a really good save at the start of the second half yesterday. I know it looked shaky in the first half.
Not yet, Joe.
But no, I just wanted to point out that he made a really good save at the start of the second half yesterday. So although his first half wasn't very good, he did improve as the game went on.
Well, I think we know with Daniel Batman, he's a brilliant shot stopper. It's just his distribution, isn't it? And I think he's a better shot stopper than Ben Hamer. I just feel that Hamer brings the calmness that we've probably needed at the back, and that's helped out Porteous and Hoot massively. I don't think Daniel Batman particularly helped Sirielta yesterday. I thought Sirielta was very poor at the back, and that might have been playing in front of Daniel Batman. But John Parslow makes a really good point here as well. He says, I think we have to be careful in Batman versus Hamer. I don't think there is actually that much between them. He gets stuck for everything. But Hamer versus Plymouth got beaten quite badly on a couple of, got quite badly for a couple. His distribution was poor, but he has also made some big important saves. Equally, Batman had issues yesterday, but also made two important saves. So I think we just got to be brilliant, really. Be a bit more, I don't know, a little bit careful with him. Mark Schofield says, could we do a keeper loan swap? Keeper I would have loved on loan. He's just signed for Stoke City, and that's Everson from Leicester City. I think he's a quality keeper. Was he on loan at Preston North End not so long ago as well?
Yeah.
So I would have had him, but it wasn't meant to be. I think we're probably going to see Hamer between the sticks for the rest of the season now, but it'll be interesting to see what does happen with Daniel Batman now for the remainder of the season. But we'll move on to the next thing, and it didn't really get much better for Watford after that shaky 15 minutes with distribution and that. Obviously, Kone missed a really good chance, didn't he, Mike? Did well to win the ball off the Chesterfield defender, but he never really looked comfortable really running in on goal, did he?
No, he was looking for that lay across. I think Healy was there, he sort of got a sprint on a bit. And I think Kone was just looking for, you know, someone just to be able to square it across the face of goal for a nice easy tap in. I think he took way too long to take the shot, and it gave Ryan Boot in the Chesterfield goal plenty of times to come out, make himself big. And it was a routine save for Ryan Boot in the Chesterfield goal. So, yeah, a little bit disappointed with Kone actually yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't want to be negative or anything, but I think we may be seeing the Kone that we saw at the start of the season, where when he was starting games, he was sort of popping up here and there. But when he was coming off the bench, he was like, wow, like, why aren't we starting this guy? Oh, yeah, that's because when we do start him, he doesn't play this well from the start. And listen, I don't want to overreact, of course, but I think maybe Kone needs a rest now. I think Tom Delibashiru has done enough to warrant a start against QPR. And I would probably, not to jump the gun here, but I'll probably start him next to Shakhbadadze in that midfield too, as the two number eights, if you like. So, yeah, I think that sort of epitomises his game, and that's probably why he was one of the first to to come off yesterday.
Yeah, Mark Schofield agrees with you. He says, agreed, Kone is back to what he was earlier in this season. And it's a shame because he shows so much promise. And there's still a player in there. I just think he just needs to rediscover his confidence. And if I think that first half, I think there was a lot of complacency from a lot of Watford players in there. I think they turned up expecting to roll Chesterfield over. But Chesterfield, look, they've not won 20 games this season for nothing. Like, they're the real deal in the National League, and that confidence just keeps you going. And going to a Championship side like Watford, that they're going to be well up for it, and they're going to fancy themselves, especially with, I mentioned at the start of the podcast, that was Watford's first win in 5 years in the FA Cup, so they knew they could go there and probably get a result. So fair play to Chesterfield yesterday. But I was in that first half as well, like, I was a little bit disappointed with our wingers. I thought Martins was very ineffective in the whole game. And then Yasser Espria in that first half weren't very good either. I thought he maybe tried a bit too much, overplayed it sometimes. But it was much better in the second half. But were you as frustrated as me and Mike watching it yesterday, thinking that it was just really poor from Watford and how we set up and maybe the mentality of the players?
Yeah, I think the frustrating thing, especially down the right-hand side, was that because of Tom Delibashiru playing at right-back, for some reason, every time I kept looking over that side of the pitch, he was standing in centre midfield, and he kept drifting in. So because of that, when Yasser Espria was like, kept looking behind, you could see Yasser looking behind him and seeing that there was a big gap and there was someone just waiting to pick the ball up and drive forward. He was like drifting back. So when we were then going forward, Tom Delibashiru is in midfield and there was no one really. There was a few times, obviously, when Yasser got the run and he managed to get the ball and go forward. I think his decision making, I think it was the second time he picked up the ball, he decided to cut inside to go on his left foot rather than if he'd have gone on his right foot and come in, he would have probably had a clear run down the wing then and managed to get the ball in for Healy, because Healy was in the box. But just that decision there just cut him off. But yeah, Martins didn't really do well because Morris didn't do well. So, you know, Morris wasn't kind of giving him anything to go forward with. And every time Martins was getting the ball, he was trying a cross field pass and they were just going to Chesterfield players and then they were attacking. There just wasn't something quite right yesterday. I don't think, like I say, the fullbacks weren't on it, so the wingers weren't on it. Everyone just seemed a little bit out of shape and out of position yesterday until, obviously, we'll talk about it in a bit, but Andrews coming on completely changed the game, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Mike as well. It was a case of not taking our chance in that first half, because we spoke about Kone chance when he was through one-on-one with the goalkeeper. That was on the 25th minute, and then it's actually took 3 minutes later, we were 1-0 down, and it was terrible goal to concede. It was quickly had the freedom of the six-yard box, didn't he, when the chance came in, and it was well played by Chesterfield down that right-hand side, got the better of us and put in a decent ball. Batman was nowhere to be seen, but equally Siri Elta completely lost his man, and I don't think he's going to have an easier header.
Yeah, I think Siri Elta's probably shown why Porteous has been chosen over him the last few games. Yeah. I know I went to Preston a few weeks back and I know we won 5-1, but something just seemed off about Siri Elta. His passing wasn't there, and you know, he just didn't seem his usual self. I mean, look, I'm comparing him to that monster season we had where we got promoted and we were unreal at home and he was the rock and we were loving him. And, I was a little bit disappointed with Sierra yesterday. I would have much preferred Porteous. I think I said the centre-back partnership I would have gone for would have been Pollock and Porteous. But, yeah, really disappointing goal to concede. But you know what? Hats off to Chesterfield, because they were more than happy to sit and wait it out. You know, they could tell that we were maybe being a little bit complacent. They could tell that, you know, we were doing... They don't mind if we have the ball. As long as we're not doing anything with it, they're like, right, you have the ball as much as you want and we'll try and hit you on the counter. And they're sort of... Their eagerness to wait sort of paid off for them. And Quigley won't score an easier goal all season. I did notice after on Twitter afterwards, he's very good mates with Colton Morris because he retweeted a tweet because Colton Morris signed a new contract at Luton the other day or something, and he was congratulating him and whatnot. So I think more of a celebration from Quigley there, and maybe Morris had a word with him before the game. But yeah, fair play. You know, Chesterfield sort of rode out that first sort of 10 minutes where we were on top, and much like this season so far, we had the chances, and it, you know, bit us on the arse. And it's frustrating because I sort of mentioned as we were walking back to the car that, you know, we went through a spell of conceding first and then coming back and winning, and then we sort of booked our ideas up and scored first in the game, but then we didn't win. So, and now we've gone back to conceding first and winning. So it's really frustrating. We've got to find something that stops us conceding first, because yes, it's great coming back and they're brilliant. And to be at a game where you've conceded first and come back, it's absolutely amazing, but it's not good. And we can't rely on us doing that week in, week out. So yeah, fair play to Chesterfield and fair play to Quigley and those 3,896, however many fans, were absolutely loving it. And you know what? Fair play to them. I was quite jealous of the Chesterfield fans. I was saying to you on the way in, I think, Ben or Cam, that I was quite jealous because they're in the National League and they've got a big away day at the Championship side, and there's no pressure on them. They're going there and they're thinking, we're top of our league. We're flying. We've got a winning mentality, regardless of what competition this is. You know, we sort of, confidence is running high throughout the team. With us, the best sort of away day we can hope for is a Premier League away day. And we've been lucky enough where we had 5 consecutive seasons in the Premier League. So it's not completely alien to us. Whereas Chesterfield haven't been playing those sort of teams like us for a good few years. So I was quite jealous of them, to be honest. And they certainly made the most of their day out, even when they lost at the end. They were absolutely brilliant. So just, yeah, wanted to say hats off to them and fair play for taking the lead. And they made us work.
They did. I thought they were set up really well. And you know what you get with the Paul Cook's side, don't you? He sets you up really well. And I thought his tactics were spot on in that first half. Watford couldn't really lay a glove on them, and we was too wasteful in possession. But yeah, hats off to the Chesterfield fans. Yes, I thought that was fantastic. And like you say, that was their big day out. But now they can concentrate fully on the league. And I think we can all say it. I think we all wish them luck for the rest of the season. And I hope that they do clinch promotion back into the Football League, because after speaking to Tom during the week, they seem like a really decent club. And their fans that I met yesterday were top draw. So yeah, best of luck for the rest of the season. Joe, yesterday it took again another rocket from Val at half time. Why are we going in at half time like this and Val's having to get a reaction out of the boys? Like, surely it can't keep happening like this.
No, it can't. There's definitely something not quite right about how we're starting games. Obviously, we've known in the past, I can't remember, to be fair, seasons off the top of my head, but I know there's been many times where we've obviously questioned how we start games in the past. And I think in particular, actually, Jokanović's season, I remember there was quite a few games. It kind of reminds me of that, where there were so many games where we went behind and it was like a competition of who would score more. We'd always score more and win games. Obviously, you know, I know over the last couple of weeks we haven't. I'll be honest with you, I can't really put a finger on it. Obviously, there are times where we've gone behind and I actually thought we've looked okay at the start. We've just conceded a sloppy goal as opposed to actually starting slow. It's just a moment where we switch off. Mm. But it's just that momentary lapse in concentration that we've got to we've got to stop. And we've actually, like Mike said, obviously, we scored first against, was it Stoke? Yeah, it was Stoke, wasn't it? And we ended up drawing. So I don't know. Could you put it down to tiredness? I mean, he's been playing the same team. Obviously, we cried out that he would pick a starting 11 and stick with it, which he has done. Maybe is it because there are some young players there that haven't played as much in previous seasons, or you know, haven't got the experience that others have got, and they're just a bit tired. I don't know. Obviously, you mentioned it before. He's got a small squad. Is now the time that we maybe need to make the squad a bit bigger so that we can obviously eradicate that? I don't know.
Well, he had to change things at halftime, Mike. He made the substitution. He doesn't shy away from a halftime substitution. And this time it was Kone off at halftime and Ryan Andrews on. And that's what we kind of needed, wasn't it? We needed to, you're looking at Watford team. There's not much pace into the team other than Ryan Andrews. So you're putting Ryan Andrews in at right back. You're moving Tom Deli into the middle of the park. And we saw Tom Deli really take that opportunity in that second half, didn't we? I thought he was running the show in that second half.
And fair play to the lads, and I'm delighted for him because he's been barren with injuries, hasn't he? You know, he was this youngster that had come from Man City and he was highly rated and, you know, couldn't wait to see him play. And he had that ACL injury against Reading, 3rd of October. I remember it well. It was in lockdown, only because it's Cam's birthday. And he then went on loan to Reading. Reading fans seemed to like him as well. Think he had another injury, the Swansea game where we lost 4-0. I can't remember what injury it was, but he's just been so unlucky. But do you know what? I must say as well, he's changed his game, because we'd seen him even this season in the games that he's played in central midfield, and he's sometimes too eager to, not eager is probably not the right word, but he's reluctant and he always looks for the safe ball or the safe option. You know, a lot of sideward passing, backward passing. But recently, he's been getting on the ball and he's been driving forward. Any chance we get, driving forward. And he's grabbed that opportunity with both hands. Obviously, Edo Kayembe, a massive miss. And we need players to come in and do as good a job as Kayembe does. Now, it would be very difficult to find someone that does the exact same job as Kayembe. But I tell you what, Chatfidadze and Tom Deli Bashira are putting through forward a bloody good audition. Bashira at right back, not for me. Fair play to the lads. He's trying his socks off, really is trying, but he's just not a right back. Centre mid, he looks different gravy, and I'm happy with that because that's where his natural position is. So for the lads, he actually scored in the 3-3 draw at Tranmere at home to Tranmere in the FA Cup third round as well. And now he's scored again. So, yeah, I'm absolutely delighted for him, Ben. And hopefully he can sort of regain his place in the starting 11. And look, if he plays well enough, he might even knock Kayembe off his perch when he comes back from the AFCON. But we'll see. I just hope and pray that he gets through this season without any big injuries, because that's been the real stickler for him.
Well, Mark Schofield's just said here as well, Tom Deli, very questionable right back, but super in midfield again, which is good now. And Kayembe, especially now Kayembe's gone off to AFCON. Joe, I wanted to talk to you about that Kayembe going off to AFCON, actually, because Mike was on the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes Twitter space yesterday, and he said that we had a Kayembe shape hole in the team. With him now in AFCON, who's got that spot for you now? Did Tom Deli maybe do enough yesterday to take it, or is it Georgi Chatfidadze's spot, or does Kone even come out of the team and you play Georgi and Deli with Livermore?
Do you know what? First of all, it's very interesting you say about the whole of Kone missing in midfield, because after 20 minutes yesterday, I turned to my friend Matt, who I was sitting with yesterday at the game, and I said to him, I feel a bit harsh saying this after 20 minutes and not really giving the midfield a chance, but you can clearly see that there's something not quite right in that midfield without Kayembe. And he said, you are right, it has only been 20 minutes, let's give it a chance. But it was very evident that it wasn't the same midfield that we've been set up with in recent weeks with Kayembe there. Tom Deli Bashiru going into that central midfield position into the second half. Based on that performance, I would probably give it to him and see how he goes there. But Georgie, when he, you know, Georgie's fantastic because when he gets the ball, he just looks to, like Dele Bashiru. They both want to drive forward. They've both got positive instincts, and they just want to go forward. They've, you know, it looks pleasing on the eye when they get the ball, you know. Differences with Georgie, I think the ball sticks to his feet a little bit more. He doesn't have, I think, the end product that maybe Dele Bashiru has got when he distributes the ball. However, I do think that when Chabukati does get the ball, it does. I mean, he won a couple of good free kicks in decent areas yesterday, didn't he? So yeah, they're both staking a claim for the position. I, like I say, based on yesterday and the second half performance, if we're, I know you said about Kone having a rest, I don't think he probably will rest Kone at QPR next week. And based on that, I'd probably say that it would be Kone, Livermore and Dele Bashiru in that central midfield position for me anyway.
Just off the back of what you've said there, Joe, I think what I like as well about Chapvidadze and Tom Dele Bashiru is you say they're central midfielders, they get the ball and they're just looking, how can we get forward? We haven't seen that since Will Hughes, in my opinion. That, like, a central midfielder getting the ball and thinking, right, instead of playing a safe pass, play it back, we'll start again, recycle the ball. Right, I've got the ball. Where am I going? Forward is away. Am I going out wide or am I playing it up? And that's what we want to see. You know, too many times we've had midfielders that are just more than happy to just pass back or pass between the midfielders. And it's a real breath of fresh air. And like you say, I'm kind of glad we've got this little battle on the hands between Chapvidadze and Tom Dele Bashiru. Hopefully they're playing in as well. It's surely only going to reap. We're only going to reap the benefits.
Yeah, it's healthy competition, isn't it? Like, imagine having like no one that you really want to come off the bench to come into a team. We've got good options now, haven't we? And I'm the same as you two. I like having ball carriers into a team, and that's what we've lacked massively for the last couple of years. And I think they can both offer a slightly different to the team as well. But I think I'll probably go for, I don't know. I don't think he's going to take Georgie out of the team, you know. I think he's been impressed with what he's done with maybe Plymouth away. I thought he run the show, and when he came off, we really struggled to get the ball forward because he was driving forward with it. So I think it's probably going to be Livermore, Kone and Chapvidadze. But Tom Dele is very, very close, and he did very well yesterday. The only thing I will say about Tom Dele was it was against Chesterfield. Like, can he do this against maybe a championship opposition as well as the impact that he did in the second half? So that's all I'll probably say to that. It came to the 70th minute, Mike, and Watford made a triple substitution. Rajovic, Luza and Hurtador came on for Healy, Chapvidadze and Martins. Healy got his first start yesterday for Watford. What was your overall feelings after Healy yesterday?
I think we saw why he's maybe not been starting. And listen, that's all Watford fans wanted was for him to be given a chance. And I think he needed to take that chance yesterday. He needed to grab that with both hands. And I think Philip... It's because we've got a guy, Philip, commenting and a guy called Mark Schofield commenting. So it's too easy to say it. I think Philip Crouch pointed it out earlier. I can't even remember what the point I was going to make was, but Philip said great something team. Earlier. I think, oh no, that was it. Philip said that that he didn't work well with a one up top. And Healy doesn't work well in a one up top. And that was evident to see, Ben, me and you said at one point yesterday, me and you said at one point yesterday that Healy was having to drop deep to get the ball. And it reminded me a lot like João Pedro in his early days at Watford in that first season in the Championship, in the lockdown season. He was dropping deep, getting the ball. That's all well and good. But then you've got to then get yourself back into the box. So I can't believe I said that. Proper knocked me off stride, like proper dummy that has. So yeah, Healy, don't mind him dropping deep to come and get the ball. He wants to get involved. He wants to get a feel for the ball. But then if you're doing that, you're not in the area. So it's all well and good trying to get you up the pitch and coming deep and creating those chances. But you sort of need to be the one that's in the area as well. So, I don't think he covered himself in glory yesterday in terms of the performance he put in. I think a chance flashed across his eyes sort of just before he went down injured. In fact, that might have been the last chance he had when he went down injured. I feel sorry for Reece. I think he'll be out the door in January, although maybe the injury might stop him. I don't know how bad it was. I didn't hear anything from Val. But I do feel sorry for Reece and a little bit underwhelmed with his performance yesterday.
I actually heard that Reece Healy actually had cramp in both legs. That's why he went off. So, yeah, I don't know how he managed that. But I'm the same as you. I think we've probably seen why he's not been starting games. And Val's even said early in the start of the season, he doesn't look like a guy who's got confidence in himself or with his knees. And he's had, I think, an ACL in both knees. And that's surely going to be in your head, isn't it, Joe? And I think yesterday it was an example of why we've not seen more of him. And I know fans have been going, give him a start, give him a chance and that, but we're not paid to pick for teams and that, and Val sees him week in, week out, or day to day in the training field. So what did you make of Healy's appearance yesterday?
I felt a little bit sorry for him, if I'm being honest. As it was pointed out, as Mike said earlier on, he works better when he's got when he's come on, he's had Rajovic up top of him, isn't he? And he's performed a lot better. There were a couple of instances yesterday where we were driving forward, and Chesterfield had corners, and we were breaking quick, and Healy was so far behind the pace, it was, I think there was one case I remember where Yasser was on the edge of the box, and Healy was like midway through in our half. So he was nowhere near it. So you can clearly see that he's off the pace at the moment. In fairness to him, there was a couple of times yesterday, I think there was two occasions where we were struggling to get the ball in the first half. And like you said, he came back and he did do a bit of a job defending as well and managed to dig the ball out from under the feet of Chesterfield players and won the ball back for us. And obviously he's got that. We only saw it once yesterday, but that ridiculously long throw that he's got, he launched the ball forward, didn't he? It's a real shame for me because obviously I thought, we wanted him to start and he's just... they just keep coming, don't they? They just keep coming. Well done, Mike. You've ruined the
team. What have you done for this podcast, Mike?
Put it on its arse.
For everyone who's listening to this on audio, we do apologise. And also, we're all still laughing from the comment that Mike's made calling Mark Schofield Philip Schofield by accident because we've got Mark commenting at the same time. But Jess has just put a comment in saying Philip Schofield would probably make a good ball carrier. So it's just set us all off again. So I do apologise that this has gone downhill and it might not be up to standards for you guys. So I do apologise and we'll probably go and get some complaints from Ofcom later on this evening. That's all down to Mike Duffy. So if you want any complaints, just go for him. Nothing to do with me or Joe Thomas. Mike, it didn't take Rajovic too long to actually find the back of the net. 7 minutes, actually. Our number nine got his ninth of the season. Fantastic ball from Yasser Espria. Got out of his feet. Fantastic ball in with his left foot. And Rajovic, I don't know if you saw, he actually pointed to where he actually wanted it in a box, ran across his man. And that's what happens with Rajovic, isn't it? You put it into a dangerous area for him to attack. And it was 1-1 for Watford.
Hertfordshire, Highland strikes again, as you said, when it went in, Ben, I think they were the words you said. But yeah, look, it's that debate, isn't it? He's a crap striker. His game overall, you know, doesn't win aerial duels, tries link up and everything. But at the end of the day, he's got 9 goals for the season. If he carries on at this rate, he's genuinely going to hit between that 15 and 20 goal mark, 15 and 20 goal mark this season, easily, if he carries on at this rate, because he genuinely is a fox in the box, although there has been a couple of times where he's sort of had it in that area and not put it in. But I say I can't knock him, any of those that have watched the matchday blog before me and Ben went up to our seat, I said, you know, I'll just be happy if Rajovic isn't starting. Or I think I said I was happy that he wasn't starting, and he's made me eat my words. Yeah, Rajovic, ball delivered in how he wants it. I didn't see him point to that, so good observation there, Ben. But yeah, he's proving me wrong. You know, he's got another goal, and yeah, no one for the season. So I'm happy for him. Listen, I know a lot of people don't rate him in that. I don't want him to do badly. He's come in. It's a new league. I think he did an interview. I think WD18 put a snippet out of what he said. He said he wasn't long ago. He was semi-pro, living at home with his mum and dad still. And now, you know, fast forward a year or two or however long it is, and he's playing in the second tier of English football. He's a professional footballer, and you know he's got 9 goals to his name. So it's not bad. If you'd have said, right, we're going to get this kid from Danish football, whatever tier it is, and he's going to come in and score 9 goals already, you'd say, bloody hell, okay, yeah, I'd sign me up for that. So, yeah, and I think that would have done him the world of good for his confidence. I think Val put Val put a tweet out. I think he did an interview with Andrew French, and he said that, you know, his confidence isn't perhaps where they want it to be, and that he's perhaps not played how they want him to. But I think the more, as obvious as this is going to sound, the more goals he scores, I think the more confident he'll become. And I think we did see a little bit more from him yesterday. And yes, I do know we were playing a team 3 divisions below us, but doesn't matter. You stick a person that's struggling with confidence and they play as well as he did, it doesn't matter who the opposition or what level they are, it will do him the world of good. So hopefully he can sort of carry on from there. And I think that goal and probably the Healy injury has bought him a start against QPR on Sunday.
Well, I think he's our only fit striker at the moment as well. But you know what I'd like to see? You know, they do these like maps of like where people score from. I'd love to see Rajovic's. If anyone can find it for me and like send it over to me on social media, I'd love to see it, because they are all literally around the 6-yard box. I don't think he scored one maybe outside the 6-yard box. So he had that really good chance against, who was it, against Stoke City the other week in front of the rookery. But I think it was at 8 yards out, so it was just too far out for him, wasn't it? So anything closer, he would have finished it. But yeah, if anyone can find one of those maps for me, that'd be much appreciated.
The Birmingham header, I've got to say, was almost on the penalty spot. So
there we go, Ben. Joe, I wanted to come to you for the next one, and it was Watford finally got their noses ahead against non-league Chesterfield. It was a sigh of relief, wasn't it, when the ball hit the back of the net? But let's talk about that goal. Special goal from Tom Deli. Really quick feet, wasn't it, in the penalty box? Like that was really smart finish from him.
Yeah, he did try something like that, I believe, about 10, 15 minutes earlier, didn't he? He got the ball and he tried something like that. And I can't remember whether the keeper saved it and it went out for a corner or it just went wide. But yeah, when he picked up the ball, again, really quick feet, took it round the man and quick finish, and the keeper didn't really have a chance to set himself, did he? He didn't really make much of a dive for it. As you can see there, it went through Matey's legs there, and it went into the bottom corner. And like you say, a massive sigh of relief. But yeah, it was worked really well down the. It's worth pointing out, it was worked really worked really well down the right hand side between Yasser and Andrews before the ball came across for Tom Delibashiru. But yeah, it was great to see, and thank goodness it saved our blushes, and we didn't. We're not talking about having to plan a Tuesday night trip to Chesterfield in a week's time.
Mate, I'm exactly the same as you. I would not have fancied us if we went up to Chesterfield in a replay. You just knew they would probably be well up for that and they would knock us out. And yeah, it's probably not worth thinking about. But thankfully, Watford got the victory. And Mike, it was a debut assist from Hurtado as well. How did you think of his cameo yesterday? He only got 20 minutes off the bench, but I thought it was lively enough.
Yeah, I said to Cam, I said, he's not really done much, this Hurtado. And then 2 minutes later, he crops up with a shot that almost went in, and then he obviously got an assist. And look, to try and judge him off 20-odd minutes would be foolish of me. And of course, his game is not rounded, it's not perfect, and he's not going to come on and wow the crowd. I remember João Pedro's debut, and you know, a lot of people might have said, oh, well, he's not up to much cop. But do you know what? He's one of these. He gets forward at every opportunity. And he created chances as soon as he come on. So I'm more than happy. I'd quite like to see him involved a bit more this season. It'll be interesting to see if he's got any more assists up his sleeve or a goal. But I think he's going to need minutes. So whether it's worth maybe sending him out on loan again. I know he didn't have much. He didn't have much of a chance at New York Red Bulls where he was. I don't think he played much, but yeah, I think he's a talented kid, and hopefully he's one that sticks with us, because the amount of players we get when come over from South America and haven't made the cut, you know, it's I want him to be more down the line of João Pedro, Richarlison, etc.
Looked very keen, yeah, didn't definitely. He?
Yeah,
I think that's the right word. He looked really enthusiastic, and when he came over, because I was sitting over that side, you could see his face. He was very happy to come on. He looked like he wanted to get stuck in straight away, and his movement, you know, he was very he was very quick. He was a little bit scatty, but obviously it's only to be expected. It's a debut, he's a young lad, and like you say, he needs minutes, and it's only going to come with more game time, isn't it? That he improves so. Yeah, I'm all for keeping him in the side, not as in starting, but keeping him in the squad and keeping around the match day squad and bring him on. I think he could be a good impact player, you know?
Yeah, I think he could be a good impact off the bench, like you say. I think him grabbing minutes here and there, I think that will really help him pick up that vital experience that maybe push him on. Mark says Hurtado is a really raw and it's not very fluent with his movement, but he did get a vital assist. And then Jess says, I thought Hurtado did well and when he came on. But yeah, I thought it was a decent debut for him. I thought he was positive, wasn't it? His first thought was just to get the ball forward, really. I don't think I saw him play a ball backwards. And yeah, no, really good ball into a box to find Tom Deli there as well. But yeah, did finish Watford 2, Chesterfield 1. So Watford have advanced through to the fourth round of the FA Cup. What I want to come to next, everyone, is if you can put it into the comments, who would you all want in the fourth round of the FA Cup? I'm going to come to Mike and Joe now to find out who they'd like. But if you want to get involved, put it into the comments and I'll read it all out. Mike, I'll come to you first. I only want one team. Give me one team that you want.
That's really tough because there's at least three that stick out.
Give me two.
Okay, two. Wrexham away.
Ooh.
They beat Shrewsbury today. Or on the purely selfish side, Aston Villa away.
Yeah, no. Mine would probably be Maidstone.
Yeah.
And I think that's also Mark's one. Mark said Maidstone home or away. And then for me, I think I'd probably go for somewhere like Spurs, like a London away day. Mm-hmm. I've not done Spurs as well, so I kind of want to tick it off. I was yeah, funny story is I actually bought a ticket for Spurs away. Mike knows all about this. This is my mate's best man speech at my wedding. So I'll enlighten you, all of you now. So me and my mate, we wanted to do Spurs away, bought a ticket. I thought it would be a good idea to get into the train station for about 8 o'clock. There was a Wetherspoons. I can't remember what the train station was, but there was Wetherspoons in London. So we all met there. I went to McDonald's, got something to eat. I thought that'd be enough to line my stomach. Came to about 12:30. I was absolutely paralytic. I tried to get onto the train. I did get onto the train. I managed to get off at Spurs, and I didn't know where I was. I was so drunk, I ended up throwing up everywhere, and I ended up going home and I missed the game. So yeah, I kind of need to go to Spurs to kind of put that right. So yeah, great. Joe, who would you like in the FA Cup fourth round? I'll give you two teams to name.
Oh,
like Mike said, Wrexham. Oh, am I around? Am I here?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Oh, Joe.
Oh, sorry. I dipped out for a second there.
Is he doing this on purpose?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, in Portsmouth. They've only just got electricity, so we'll let him off. I think his signal's a bit dodgy.
Oh, Joe. Put 50p in the meter.
Days when he used to dip in and out because he was using the wrong browser for the software that we use.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he used to record on the train with us.
Well.
That's pure dedication. Oh, it's back.
Oh, I don't know. He looks like
my pal.
He's for hokey cokey. He's in and out.
Joe, who do you want in the fourth round, my good man?
It's just...
Sorry, I think I'm back now.
Right, okay.
Hurry up then.
Oh, this is killing me. Who does Joe want?
Can you hear me?
Put it in... Are you winding us up?
No, I don't think he is.
Right, okay. Joe, pop it in the WhatsApp group and we'll say it for you. Jess is actually saying Maidstone away. But she reckons that we'll probably get Leicester. He has popped it in the chat. So he's gone for Villa. So Joe wants Aston Villa. So even Mark's getting involved right in here. You're keeping everyone in suspense. And then he's gone for Wrexham as well.
Fucking hell.
Mike went that for that as well. That would be quality, wouldn't it? Going up to the race course at Wrexham. Mr. Ryan Reynolds owning the club and McAnally as well. That'll be a decent tie. All right, then, Mike, I'll give you a third one. Who's the third one you wanted?
It's, again, pure selfishness is Nottingham Forest away. But they almost never made it because they were 2-0 down to Blackpool at home today. And then they clawed it back to 2-2. You know what? We're saying all this. We're asking everyone, who do we want? We know full well what's going to happen, Ben. Chelsea or Man City away. Always happens. Always. Yeah. So, it might be for nothing.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. It's the draws tomorrow evening, isn't it? So we'll have to keep our eyes peeled. So I look forward to seeing us drawing away to Manchester City. And then just finally, just before we wrap it up, we wanted to talk about just quickly about the news that was came out earlier, just before. About an hour and a half before we came live, his former Hornet Dapo Mabudi was involved in a horror car crash in Belgium earlier on. He's undergone a successful surgery, and he, everyone at Voices of It wish him he's in our thoughts, and we're wishing him a speedy recovery. But from what we originally heard, it was like life threatening. So, hearing that it was a successful surgery is a massive relief. So yeah, everyone's thoughts here at the Voices of Vix with Dapper and his family at the moment, because that's absolutely horrendous. He didn't play many games for Watford, but you wouldn't wish this on anyone. And he was a really highly rated youngster that we signed from Glasgow Rangers. And he came in, he impressed in pre-season, he was featuring for Watford. And then he actually picked up a really poor injury away at Stevenage in, I think, the League Cup, and he was stretchered off in the first half, and it was really unfortunate because he was making an impact and was involved in the first team. Once he fully recovered from that injury, I think we loaned him out to AFC Wimbledon the following season, and then after that he's decided to play his football abroad. So yeah, I wish him a speedy recovery, and yeah, I hope everything goes well. But yeah, that's it from us for tonight. Thank you everyone for watching tonight. Really do appreciate it. Loving the comments tonight as well. And we've had absolutely loads. Just read out one more just before we go. Philip Crouch says Newport or Eastleigh to give us a chance of getting to the fifth round. Wouldn't we love the cup run this year? It would be, especially with us just outside the playoffs. You don't know if you're going to get into the playoffs, but a cup run I would definitely take. But yeah, if you haven't already, me and Mike did a match day vlog yesterday. John Parslow said in here earlier saying great vlog yesterday, Ben. So yeah, thanks for watching, John. But if you haven't watched it already, head over to our YouTube channel and have a look at it. It's a really good video on Watford Chesterfield, where Watford won 2-1, and I managed to catch both goals as well, which is a rarity as well. So really good quality vlog yesterday. So yeah, make sure you check that out. Hit that like button on this video. Also hit that subscribe button as well. We've gone up a few times on the old subscribers in the last couple of days. We've gone up quite a bit. So I see that there's a few comments floating around. Yes, I don't really appreciate you trying to put me off here. I'm trying to stay professional. You carry on talking about Philip Schofield, you're going to get us into trouble. But yeah, we're going to wrap it up there, and we're actually back midweek with a preview with the legend that is Paul from QPR. If you haven't watched it already, go back and watch our preview of the QPR at the start of the season. It must be one of the funniest previews me and Mike's ever done. So we're delighted to get him lined up again. So that was going to be brilliant. So block out your Tuesday night evening, get a few drinks and get involved with Paul, because that's going to be fantastic. But yeah, we'll be back Tuesday night with that preview, and we'll see you all soon. So come on, you horns. Sports Social Podcast Network.